certain time while we are praying, God interfere and interrupt the prayer meetings. There is a story in the Bible where the people of God were facing some trouble, and after they faced the trouble, they came to the Lord to pray and to cry to God, and they were weeping and crying. That we can read in the book of Joshua. Joshua, after he sent 3,000 men to take the city of Ai, and they were looted, and 36 men of them were killed. We can read in book of Joshua chapter 7 and verse 6. And Joshua heard what had happened. It was unexpected. And Joshua went in the clothes and sat there upon his face before the ark of the Lord at the David's side. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people of the Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and were on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from theirs. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Joshua lamented with the elders. They were crying. They were telling to the Lord, "Lord, why you allow us to cross the Jordan? Why you did not let us on the other side? Why you let us to go forward? But now we have this situation that we are facing, and more than that, the Canaanites and others, when they will hear about it, they will surround us and they will destroy us, they will kill us." And the last statement that Joshua uttered before the Lord, "And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" That's the question of Joshua to God. "Lord, what you will do for your great name?" And that is the truth. If we really need revival, we need to cry to God, "Lord, what you are going to do for your great name?" And when the Lord hears what Joshua says, the Lord interrupts the prayer meeting and starts to speak. Let's pray before we continue. Oh God, thank you. We bless you, we magnify you, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we do pray that your word us, revive us, and teach us more of your way. And I pray for revival, for repentance, for sin to be disposed and dealt with in a proper way, here in other places, in other congregations, in other churches. Oh God, so that your name will not be mocked, but your name will be lifted up and glorified in the life of your church and your people. I pray whatever the purpose of your sending this message shall be accomplished. O God, and you receive the glory and honor, and you receive the fruit that you desire to see in our lives. We thank you, God, and we bless you. This is our prayer in this name. Amen. And the Lord hear what Joshua spoke. The Lord spoke as one. In verse 10 we can read, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore lest thou dwell upon thy face." You don't get up, stand. You don't need to lie on your face with them. Stand up and I will speak and I will tell you what has happened. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have been taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and assembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. The Lord declared to him why the Lord allows such a defeat, no progress. They took the city of Jericho, and after that they got stuck. There's no progress after a great victory that God has given to them. And the reason God is saying there's a sin inside the camp, inside the family, inside the church. And that sin had affected the situation, and that sin had brought this trouble that we are facing, that we are facing today. He talked about the sin explained to him, that they have broken the covenant, they have stolen, they have told lies, they have hide, they have cover up, they have stolen things, and they have mixed it with their own things. And in verse 12, he explained to him further, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. They could not resist, they were defeated, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. He said that's what happened, because they sinned, they couldn't stand, and I will not stand with you unless that sin that I have described to you now, it needs to be dealt with, and the thing that has been accursed and been taken, it needs to go out from them, deal with it, then they can stand and they can progress forward in their life and ministry. And that is exactly what is going on. We have received salvation from our Lord free. We did not labor in at any cause, we did not say anything, but we know also that we need to work out our salvation. Joshua, in the New Testament, they call Joshua Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, he did not call him Joshua, but he called him Jesus. Our Joshua today is the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought us salvation. As Joshua brought the people to the promised land, but now he's stuck. He cannot progress forward. The same for us. When there is sin, we have salvation. But we need to work it out to deal with that particular sin in our lives, in our families, in our church, and the people who are under our care. In verse 13, the Lord has recommended Joshua up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before the enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. He told him, tomorrow. Tomorrow, as I declare to you what has happened, as I show you the sin, as I show you the people that you need to deal with, tomorrow you have to deal with it, so that your problem will be solved and you can progress forward. And that's the urgency of the church today. Why the church today should deal with sin. You know, adultery is sin with all the kinds, sin, divorce and remarriage, boyfriend and girlfriend, all these sins linked with adultery. Stealing with all the kinds of stealing, cheating, fraud, injustice, manipulation, corruption, taking advantage of all these sins. But the worst of all these sins, you know what it is? When the church know about sin and do nothing about it, when the family know what sin going on inside the family with the children, and the family does not willing to do anything about it, that is worse than the sin what is going on. This one, when he said to the Lord, what you will do for your own name's sake, God show him there is sin and you need to deal with it. This one, if he did not deal with it, if he did not respond to God, the sin of Joshua of compromising and keeping silent about it, it would be worse than the sin of Achan that he responded. And we know that Joshua responded. And here in the body of Christ, there is two categories of churches. Few who are willing to face sin and go through the trouble of it to clean the families and the church. But the majority with the young ones, they are not willing to face the trouble of facing sinners and sin and cleanse the church from it. They resort to compromise, justify it, and we know that will yield more sin and more trouble. Joshua, he found out who is the one who did it. God shown who is the person. And if we are willing to deal with sin, God will show us also the way, and he will also give us the scripture, and he will also give us the teaching. Now, a lot of churches without teaching. There is no teaching, there is no discipline, because they are not willing to deal with sin. They are not willing to face circumstances. They are not willing to deal with issues that is so hot in their midst. Why? God is not there? No, God is there, but they are not willing to listen to him. How God show him? God did not tell him the person, but God tell him the sin. And God show him the sinner. Let me get the point here. So it was more difficult for Jesus than for us today. How much more if God has shown the sinner? And still Jesus will not respond. But Jesus really responded. Because his heart was knit with God. God wants this kind of people to lead. In verse, verse 22, when Joshua called Achan and he confessed to him, so Joshua sent messengers and they ran up to the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it was gold and silver and clothes stolen in. And they took them out of the tent, midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them our before the Lord. So it is called everything laid bare before God. And now we have to deal with the with those who did this. And just one all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the weight of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stone and turn and bear them with fire after they had stoned them with stone. And they laid over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the body of Achor unto this day. They dealt with the sin in a proper way. And the place they call the body of Achor, the meaning of Achor is the body of trouble. Many, they are avoiding going through the trouble. They want to do the bypass for it. But if we go to the New Testament, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ did not bypass the troubles. Christ, when he came, he was hated. They crucified him finally because they hated him, because he was not willing to compromise with them. And we need to follow our Lord's example. Revival will not come, and true conversion will not take place, unless the church is willing not to compromise and to deal with the sin in a proper way. The Lord also has taught us, as his disciples we are, in Mark chapter 3, chapter 13, verse 13, what he promised his disciples, what he told them. Mark chapter 13, verse 13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure until then, the same shall be saved. He promised that you will be hated by all men. Now, everyone knows in the Christian society, he wants to be loved by the people, he wants to be accepted by all the people, and that is really against what Jesus has taught and what he had promised his disciples. We will be hated if people still not hating us. It means that there is a problem in our obedience to the Lord. If we really want to follow God, there must be people hating us. Christ, he was crucified, and in his crucifixion he dealt with the sin of all the world. And he also, he dealt with the sin of Judas Iscariot. Judas was put out. And that, after the death of Christ and after his resurrection, when that putting sin out of the church, certain people need to be dealt with in a proper way, so that when the Holy Spirit will come, we'll find a true conversion of people. When the compromise is going on, and sin is allowed, sin will be accepted. Sin will be also tolerated. And when the sins are tolerated, other kind of sin will be also invited in the middle of the church nowadays. Why we, the degradation of homosexuality is accepted now in the Christian society, although some churches are not accepting it, but good number of churches are accepting it. Why? Because the sins of Achan and Goliath that the church has condoned over years and ages have paved the way for such grave sins to come inside. There, as I say, there are two kinds of churches going on. Churches who are willing to suffer, and they are willing to not to compromise, they are willing to be hated. These churches, they suffer much, because most of the people leaving them, they have less resources, less number, less finances, less facilities, because they were not willing to give up the word of God. But in another area, just around, there are other kind of churches who are after numbers and after people and after money and after resources and after talents, but not after the word of God and implementing them. These churches, you'll find large number of people, but people coming in and out, there's no changes of life, and there is also forced conversion. People who come to the church, they will be not be in such churches, they will not be transformed by the word of God, but they will be transformed by activities and practices and things that the church do away from what the word of God says. In book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 10, speaking about to be hated. There are certain times, certain people should hate us. Certain times, certain people should hate me, because I need to say the truth that they are hating to hear. In book of Amos, chapter 5 and verse 10, say, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. At the gate of the city, the elders of the city are there, and every people coming from outside of the city, they will check, and those who are leaving the city, all they will check. If they will find wrongdoing or misconduct, or something not in line with the scriptures or God's will, they will rebuke those who are coming from out in, or those who are living from in or out. What the people will respond to that rebuke? They will hate those who speak uprightly. And that's what he says. He says, on my account, you will be hated by all. But he says also something else. He will stand firm to the end, will be say, what I understand that the leaders, the church leaders and the church members and the workers, whoever they are, when they see sin and they don't deal with it, they lose their salvation if they will not repent. Are we the body of Christ or no? We are. If you don't behave as a body of Christ, as a mouth of Christ, as a hand of Christ, as a feet of Christ, we are dead and there is no salvation for dead people unless we rise and do the right thing. In the book of John, still good number of you who are here, still you want people to love you. And the more you face struggle, you face trouble. But God allowed Jesus to pass through. He faced a problem and he does not understand why. He has a bigger army but he cannot face it. Unless he understood that he needs to deal with the sin inside his camp. We are accountable people. If you will not be willing to discipline and do the right thing to deal with that particular sin, expect more defeat. Have you get the point here? If you are not willing to be hated by others, expect more troubles and no revival, no work of the Holy Ghost, no blessing of God will come into your life unless you comply to His will. In John chapter 17 and verse 14, Jesus makes it very clear in His prayer to the Father. Now church, they speak about unity because Jesus says, make them one. But let us understand how we can be one. Not based on compromises. Based on our obedience on God's word. Based on our obedience even to be hated by the people. In John chapter 17 verse 14, Jesus says, I have given them thy word, and the word has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Most of the Christians now are very worldly, and I don't like to be united with worldly people who call themselves Christians. I make the statement very clear. I am not hated, there is something wrong in me. Because Jesus said, I have given them your word, and the word hates them, and the word loves me. It means I am killing, stepping on the word of God, or throwing the word of God behind my back. Take seriously the message. I don't know if God is speaking through this message, but I know God wants us to deal with certain things, certain sins, whether here or the message to go to other places, wherever it's published, the Lord wants revival, but revival will not come unless sin needs to be dealt with. In the book of Revelation, it speaks of a situation of a church, a situation of a true church. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, and there's the message was directed to the church in Smyrna. This church in Smyrna, that is in the city of Smyrna, the church was persecuted. And let us read what the Lord sent message to this church. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things say the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second day. Now, the message of the Lord to this church, the first statement to them in verse 8, he declared to them that the one who spoke is the first and the last, and he described himself which was dead and is alive. So he reminded them that the Lord was put to death by the persecution, he was crucified, and he's saying to them, you are also persecuted. This is the right example that God wanted to pass through us, your Lord himself was persecuted. Then he went further and he told them he was dead and is alive. Even they were put to death, but later on he would be alive. They cannot take your soul away from the hands of the Lord. In verse 9, he told them, I know your words, I know your prayers, and I know your poverty. Why poverty? Because, as I explained, people, when they hate somebody because they rebuke them, they will move away. People will move away, resources will move away, talents and facilities will move away, and will join the next churches who are willing to compromise and willing to accept sin and keep sin, living with the sin and feasting on that particular sin. He told them, I know your poverty, but in two brackets he says, but thou art rich. God wants us to be rich in standing firm. God wants us to make a difference. Daniel was alone, but he was poor because he was alone, no resources, zero resources. Himself, no people, no support, but he was rich by the stand that he made for the Lord to pay that particular sin of eating food sacrifice to idols in the midst of Babylon. He stood firm and he made a clear distinction between what is vile and between what is holy and good. The same for us today. Although other churches better, far better with the facilities, number of people, resources, talents and skills, but we know that compromises finally will end up in destruction. Jesus described them here. And I know the blasphemy of them which are, we say they are Jews and are not. They say they are Christian, but they are not. They say that they are workers, they are not. They say they are pastors, but they are not. As long as they are keeping sin, they are not. Of which was, say they are Jews and they are not, but are the synagogues of Satan. Satan's synagogues. Satan in the middle of churches who compromise and keep sin. The word, the meaning of synagogue is lead together. Lead to? Lead. Leading together. If we lead together away from God's word and his commands, we become synagogue of Satan. So there are two churches in this matter. The true church, small persecuted poverty, and the big church around it, that is the synagogue of Satan. The time will come, God will deal with such people who compromise. He told them, I know what you are about to suffer, fear not. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Every now and then, God will try us with the trials. He wants to see, are we going to pass through successfully without compromising, willing to get all the hurt and the pain, and persevere till this critical period? He told them, devil, he would put you, Satan would put you in the prison for 10 days. Now, every issue the church says, it needs to pass through certain painful tears, as we have spoken in the book of Jethro, when Jethro decided to cleanse the camp from people who would steal, for example. If you want to clean the camp from people who corrupt, if you want to clean the church from people who do morality, if you want to clean the church from people who are taking advantage, have you got the point here? We need to pass through painful periods. Why? Because that's what devil is preparing for us, to persecute us, because the word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 6, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So he's telling them, you will get 10 days painful. This 10 days have a prophetic value to us today, that God is waiting for me to stand. That during this 10 days, so painful, that the devil will do all he can to make me go back and compromise and melt in the front of the lies of the devil. But we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Going forward, willing to pay the price and willing to share the suffering of our Lord Himself. He died, but He is now alive. Here, that who can kill both body and soul in. He told them that he may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, not unto the end, unto death. He make it sure. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of death. Now again here, he links the salvation of us with our faithfulness. He has done his work, but we have to work it out. Joshua took the people into the promised land, but they need to work it out. We cannot progress and reach heaven unless we have the salvation, unless we follow the instruction to cleanse our families and our churches from sin. So, Church of Smyrna, surrounded by the synagogues of Satan, a bigger church, that compromise. Verse 11, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcome, again, he that overcome shall not be heard of the second death. Again, he links our salvation with our willingness and our perseverance to overcome. So there is a valley of echoes of the trouble we need to pass through it. And there is also 10 days that devil will put us in a corner, and he corner us. And we need to, whatever, we need to go through it. But let us understand the value of all these 10 days of tribulation that devil will wait, and God allows for a good purpose to be tried, to be cleansed, to be proved our faithfulness to him. And let us see from the scriptures what are the good things when the church is willing to go through troubles in order to cleanse itself from sin. You know, the valley of Achor is a very painful experience, and sure, no one of us is willing to go through it unless when it is needed we have to go through. But the value of Achor has benefits. The scriptures, the word Achor, troubles, have been repeated in other places of scriptures. For example, we can read about it in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. Because once you hear about the valley of Achor, you remember Achan, you remember stoning, and you remember death because of sin, and people get avoiding it because it's a painful experience, but it has fruit. We need to go through it. Because I tell you, there's no revival will come through if sin is not purged out. Judas Iscariot should be out so that the Holy Spirit when it comes, it will fill the church and true conversion will start. Nowadays there is no real true conversion. There is reformation into activities, but no real change of life. There is no turning point from sin towards God. You can't find it now. Because so much activities, so much worldliness in the church, so much days the church are celebrating, but all away from the will of God. Book of Isaiah chapter 65, verse 10. It says, and Sharon brings forth a seed out of Jacob. And Sharon shall be a field, shall be a fold of flock. And the valley of acres, a place for the hares to lie down. For my people that have taught me. So he mentioned the value of acres. For what? Not for stoning. He said for flocks. For hares to lay down comfortably in a green pasture to enjoy life. He named the value of acres for my people that have taught me. When we seek God, we need to deal with sin. We need to go through the cross. We need to deal with our enemies, the devil, willing not to compromise, willing to be persecuted. That trouble that we pass through, later on will bring the salvation to others. They will understand what the will of God in our life. When Joshua took Achan and Jed with him, the church understood what is the will of God. When the church failed to deal with sin, the people they got the bad example and they will follow the bad example. And God will, and the Lord will not reward and bless the church unless the church repents. The church has the word of God. And if the Holy Spirit would today revive us, He would direct us to deal with the sin. After we are done with it, we can see. We can see where the value of Acor was a blessing to us as we were willing to pass through it. In the book of Hosea, chapter 2, and verse 15, again mentioned here the value of Acor. And the Lord said, I have given her vineyard from them, and the valley of Acor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of Herod, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Here the valley of Acor, he linked it to be a door of hope. Today, our hope in the Lord. But we need to deal with sin. We have the word of God. We have the scriptures. If you will not deal with it, if you fall on somebody else, you know what will happen? It will just come back to you. God will use others. Those who are willing to deal with sin, sin will go away from their midst. Those who are not willing, they want to just throw it away on somebody else to do it, it will just come back on them. Our hope today is to obey God. Trust Him. Ask Him to be willing ourselves to go according to the scriptures. Sin always damages more than the sinner himself. You see the example of Achan, because the people around you knew about it, but no one knew. But when God exposed it, Joshua was willing to follow, God is wanting people today willing to follow. Sin will bring more destruction. Be careful. I cannot do your ministry. The things that you need to do, you have to do it. When I discover certain things and I need to do, I will go and I will do it. I have a trust in the Lord. The valley of Echo will be a door of hope for the next generation not to face the same sin that we are facing today. Let's understand. Let's pray. Lord, the promise to those who continue to sin, destruction and death, and no salvation. And to those who are not willing to deal with sin, even they are not the one who do it, they will be destroyed. He promised the church of Smyrna, he who overcome will not taste the second death. He expects us to overcome. Oh God, thank you for your word. Come before the name of Jesus. Oh God, help each and every one of us who is willing to go through the valley of echoes to the 10 days of tribulation that Satan will wage against us, against him or against him. I pray of all that brother and sister or sister, that family, this congregation, myself, oh God, and everyone who is willing, uphold us with your grace, till we are out from it, bringing you the glory and the honor that you deserve. Oh God, Lord Jesus, you have died for our sin, you have given us salvation. And Lord, we pray that you will be willing to be even hated, oh God, to the point of death. Lord, so that your name will be glorified. Lord, just what I ask you and what you will do with your name, oh God. And now we understand that your church, your body, should be willing to come out from sin and deal with sinners. Oh Lord, so that your blessings, the revival, the pouring out of the Holy Ghost, the new cross, the new mysteries, oh God, the new people that you will reach out. Lord, this will take a place when sin is purged totally from our lives. Lord, I pray for those who are not willing, I pray from among us and from other churches, I pray, oh God, you take them away from the ministry, or take that ministry from them in the name of Jesus, and set your people free from such leaders who compromise and who feed sin. Oh God, I pray for a revival, oh God. I pray for justice. I pray for your judgment, coming judgment on those who have kept sin inside the church. Deal with them, oh God. Those who are compromising. Those who are conjuring sin. Those who have kept worldly practices and days of the world they are celebrating, oh God. They make, oh God, the field of the evangelism. They have corrupted, oh God. They have blended it, oh Lord. They have made it, oh Lord, corrupted, oh Lord, with wrong principles and cheating into your word, oh God, deal with them in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray, hear our prayer, oh Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we are willing, fill us once again with the Holy Ghost, that we go forward, preaching your word, without compromising, reaching people who need you, oh God, saving people through your word, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Answer our prayer. And give us boldness to preach and do miracles, oh Lord. Stretch out your hand and do miracles in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the people will know you, that you are the true God and we are your servants. Oh God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. And let your hand be with us and keep us lowered from harm so that we not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in this name. Amen.